Hello.
How are you all doing? We are here, the Super Console Podcast live. I'm scared. Are you scared?
Terrified.
I'm terrified of what you're going to say because you say weird stuff
when we're live. A lot of it gets cut.
I do a lot of editing. So I am Katie, your host, and this is the lovely Ryan Page.
Yep.
Co-host.
Co-host? Am I co-host?
Oh, you've been promoted. Yeah, it's true. And we are going to talk a little bit about the Switch's 1 year anniversary today. Well, it's not today. What was it? Friday? Saturday?
I don't know. I didn't even see it.
I'm excited. Excited. Oh, hey! How you doing, Rob? So I guess it's a bit weird in a way because episode 3 was in December and it was snowing when we started doing that.
And it's still snowing.
And it's still snowing. It's the first time it snowed on your birthday. It was Ryan's birthday on Friday and we got snowed in. So we couldn't do anything fun, which is
well,
sad.
Well, I mean, we did a lot of things fun. We played video games.
That's true.
On my birthday.
I've actually got Man-Human still playing in my ear right now, so I'm just going to quickly turn him off because as much as I'm enjoying it, slightly distracting. Ooh, where are we? There we go. Right. So, what else are we doing? What's new? Well, we're in a new house. That's new.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. Got my lovely desk behind us.
And what have you been playing lately?
Pretty much Monster Hunter. I just started playing a bit more Overwatch yesterday, but just a lot of Monster Hunter in general. It's probably like the longest amount of time that I spent playing a game on your PS4.
I'm
really enjoying it. I haven't played console games in over maybe like since Xbox 360, like Halo 3, so it's quite weird for me.
I'm really jealous because one, it's my PS4, so whenever you're playing it, it means I can't play Persona.
Yeah.
But also because I really wanted to play Monster Hunter. It's, I don't know, how have you been finding it so far? Because you haven't really played much of it, have you?
In the
previous games.
Is it the first one that's on PS2?
I'm not sure. Chat, do you know? What was the first Monster Hunter game? Did it come out on PS2?
I think it might have done, but I played that one. Played the one that came out on 3DS, which was it 4?
The ultimate one, wasn't it, that you played? I'm not sure. I played Trial.
I didn't ever like extensively play them, but this Monster Hunter I've kind of just fallen into head first because I love it. It's really good.
How are you finding like the kind of difficulty?
Difficulty is like a lot easier than previous Monster Hunters. It's not even like I've always felt like with Monster Hunter, it's never like a learning curve that comes from the fact that the actual gameplay is difficult. It's more that there's so much stuff that you need to learn in order to make it easy for yourself to play. That's where the difficulty comes from. It's not like Dark Souls, where there's kind of like a lot of skill involved and things like that.
I don't know. I always found with Monster Hunter, for me, it wasn't so much the difficulty. It's kind of like learning how to play it all over again. Like, I think once you get into the groove of it, and once you kind of, you know, I played through like the insect glaive, the weapon, and I found once I kind of got all the nuances to it, did a bit of training, then you took down a few different types of monsters, you kind of get
kind
into the swing of it.
Drip feeds you the different levels of gameplay and things, so I don't feel nearly as overwhelmed as previous games. It kind of like drip feeds you like layers of gameplay, and you kind of get used to that.
I think it looks beautiful as well, though, doesn't it?
It looks incredible.
I wish we had a PS4 Pro to play it on, because I think it's one of those games that actually would benefit from a Pro.
We'd also need a 4K TV, but
That's a dollar cash that we don't have, which is sad. What else have you been playing? Fortnite as well the other night, weren't you?
Played Fortnite. I don't really play Fortnite too much. I've generally been more into PUBG, but I really like the art style of Fortnite.
It's really pretty.
It's very cartoony. It's a lot of fun to play as well.
I was watching it over your shoulder the other night and it did look quite beautiful. It's probably the only reason I'd give it a go.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun though.
Oh my god, I tried PUBG for the first time. When was that? A couple of weeks ago?
You were stressing out.
It's so stressful. My god, it's really stressful. It was the fact that we could hear somebody in the house that I was hiding in. I went for the I'm going to hide and be the last person standing because I'm such a scaredy cat approach. And, oh my god, where were we? I was hiding in the toilet, wasn't I? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I was hiding in the toilet and I could hear people, like, steps above me. And I was, like, literally hiding above my god, like, oh my god, I'm just going to wait until they come in. And I had this tactic, didn't I? That as soon as they opened the door, I would just take him down.
And didn't work out.
It didn't work because as soon as I came in, I just got stressed, forgot which button to press, and then died. But
so you have most FPSs though, right?
Yeah. Or any stealth game. I just can't do
it. I feel like
it.
With Fortnite, though, that it loses that kind of level of suspense. There's no actual kind of like, it doesn't feel like there's nearly as much camping for me. I don't know. Just because I kind of like generally run around the map more in Fortnite and there's a lot more like building and stuff going on. And I don't know, with PUBG, you kind of tend to either sit in like a one kind of like location for quite a while and just wait for people.
It's just, it looks a little bit sad as well and grey and just not that fun. I'm not sure. Oh, it was on PS2. Thanks for that, Dave. That was the first one, Santa. You were right. Yeah. So you did play. You are a veteran of the series. Ah, good times. Good times. What have I been playing? I played a bit of Oxenfree lately, the indie game. It's just come out on Switch recently. And it is quite scary. Have you seen it?
I've heard of it.
It's that one with the really pretty kind of like dark art style and it's quite text-based.
Yeah.
It's a really cool game. Would recommend, but did not realise how creepy it would be. I don't know why, because it did say in the tags, supernatural thriller. So you would think from that, I'd think, maybe not for me? No. No, not so much. It's cool, it's interesting, I'm just such a wimp. I can't play at night time. I play on my commutes because I feel safe on the train. And apart from that, you know. What else have you been playing recently?
I played Overwatch yesterday, which was like the first time in a long time, just because the gameplay has been feeling super stale for me. Still Stardew Valley, like nearly every commute. I think that's it, really. I tried to start playing Fury, but it was like massively hard, and I kept on getting really upset that I was so bad at it.
What's that?
Is it top down? Yeah, kind of like top down, fast paced, kind of like boss battle game where you kind of
Switch?
Like on Switch. Yeah.
Oh, good times. Well, speaking of Switch, seeing it's the 1 year anniversary of our beautiful baby. How did you feel this time a year ago when it just come out? Did you buy it on launch? Did I get it for you for your birthday?
Maybe. I can't remember.
How did you feel about it back then?
I was just hoping to God that it wouldn't do the same thing as the Wii U, where it kind of looked like it had like a promising lineup on launch and then just like drop after about 6 months and then. Like after the Wii U came out, there was a dry period of about a year, which damaged it heavily. Just because, like, there was no point in picking it up.
Yeah, I get that. I was a little bit apprehensive, but...
I can't remember what the console timeline was. Was it that Wii U came out and then shortly after PS4 and Xbox One? I can't remember how long it was between them.
Wii U was first.
I think because of that dry period with the Wii U, no one really bothered with it. Just because, like, everyone was looking at Xbox One and PS4 by that point.
This is true, and... There was just no games, was there, in that first Wii U period? I mean, we always joke that I bought Wii U on launch, which is the biggest joke, and I spent a lot of money on it. And also, I didn't buy any other games. The only thing
You bought Nintendo Land, which is a sick game.
Did I come free with it? Yeah.
No, you had to buy it. It was like £15-20, I think.
I can't remember. I thought it came free. I thought it was like
Wii
Sports.
I thought we bought it.
I thought Switch was the first one that didn't have a game that came free with it for Nintendo. I'm not sure. But I literally just played Nintendo Land for ages, didn't I? Didn't buy anything else.
Yeah. What else did you get? I mean, like, eventually Pyro you
Warriors,
built up, like, Xenoblade
Brothers,
Chronicles.
Xenoblade X.
Is it X? Okay.
It was X, and then this one is Xenoblade.
And then we bought Captain Toad. That was pretty sick.
Captain Toad was great. Captain Toad was really good. This is true. Rob says, as a Wii U owner, I'm surprised they even tried to make another console. Glad they did, though.
Yeah. Like, Switch killed the actual like concept of what the Wii U was meant to be, right? That it's like this home console that does actually move around and stuff. It's the Wii U done right.
I just was looking back today at all those articles that came out in the run-up to the Switch coming out. Do you remember when everyone was looking at the fact that it was like a Tegra processor or something, wasn't it? Like, they were looking at all the different kind of specs for it, and everybody was slating it before it had even, you know, been any information being revealed about it. People were saying they didn't understand how it would work.
People were just like generally on the hype train to kind of like hate it, right, just because of what the Wii U turned out to be. But now, it's killing it. It's great.
It literally is killing it, and I'm so glad that Nintendo are proving everybody wrong, because it's changed my life. I don't want to be dramatic, but my commuting life has changed forever. I can actually play games now, like regularly in the week.
I don't play nearly as much PC games since I bought a Switch. Well, or you bought a Switch, I can't remember which who bought it, but like, just because I play more stuff like Stardew Valley on my commute, I'll just generally get home and not play games anymore.
You've put so many hours into Stardew Valley.
Yeah, I have. It's great.
Ryan's Farm is like, we've taken two very different approaches to our Stardew Valley gameplay. I've kind of gone for the more like humble farm, I'd say. I'm focusing on the care of my chickens, of course, and romancing as many people in town as possible. Yeah, mainly my baby boy, the drunkard. But you've gone for like industrial level farm.
Yep, where I've optimised it to a T. I'm bringing like hundreds of thousands every day. It's fantastic.
I just don't get it. Like, Ryan's the kind of person who will raise these chickens from chicks and he'll just sell them. He'll just be like, they're not profitable anymore. Sell them.
I'm now selling my chickens just because I can get more profitable animals.
This is what I mean. As people who own chickens, as people who own pets, I don't know how you can do that, even though they're digital creatures.
I've always been into like resource management games though, so this is like I can just like minimize, maximize things just by like changing the crops and stuff, and like I'm super into that. I don't know.
How do you feel about the new theme hospital coming out? Have you guys seen that? There's a new like remake version of Theme Hospital. Are you excited to play it?
I played it as a kid. Like, I can't remember too much about like actually getting into it though. Like, I don't know.
I thought you'd be all over that. You used to like games like Pharaoh and all of that.
Yeah, I was less into Theme Hospital though.
Do you remember that indie game we played at Res a couple of years ago, Big Farmer?
Yeah. Was it Big Farmer? Yeah. That was pretty cool. I didn't get it though.
Did it come out?
It did come out, didn't it? I thought it came out.
I've got no idea. I haven't seen anything about it. But yeah, 2 Point Hostel, that is, you are right, that's what it's called. It looks really cool. I'm really excited to go ahead and play it again. Get bloaty head syndrome.
Speaking of more like resource management games and stuff, have you been following the stuff about the, I think, Jurassic Park game?
Which one?
The new one.
Oh, what's it called? Evolution?
Maybe.
I don't know, does anyone else remember?
Yeah, I used to absolutely love, is it Operation Genesis as a kid?
The one where you actually make.
Yeah, it was really cool.
All the pens for them.
Really cool.
Mm.
And then I'd actually let out the dinosaurs on purpose.
Of course you would. I used to do that in, what was it called? The Safari one? Theme Safari? Maybe? I don't know. There was one where you could, like, you know, get gazelles and stuff in a run, and you have all the lions, and then you could literally just be like, right, lions, out you go. Wreak havoc. Even with theme park, that was so good, where you would add loads of salt into the chips so they'd buy more drink. I mean, really, they were just making us. They were kind of like channeling into us at this young age, this whole capitalism vibe of screw everybody over, make everyone sick on all the rides, but rake up the prices. I mean, it's a bad thing to teach young people. Maybe that's why we're like we are.
What, addicted to work?
Who knows? We're all about that monetization. Oh dear, that's why I play loads of Nintendo games on my YouTube, because I'm all about that monetization.
Is that a joke? Because they demonetize everything.
Painful. So what else with the Switch would you say has been the highlights of the past year? So what would in your mind be the...
It's hard because I've been playing so much Stardew Valley, but
I've just taken over everything else.
I've just started playing Mario Galaxies. No, not Galaxies. What's wrong with me?
Super Mario Odyssey.
That's it, Super Mario Odyssey. Really sick. Couldn't believe how...
Sick. Really sick. Sick game.
I know, it's like finally seeing a mobile console being able to pull off graphics that look so cool and so like stylized and amazing and flawless as the new Mario game, plus things like Zelda. Also look incredible as like open world games. Just look so good. So good.
Beautiful. And I think it's because Nintendo always focus on colours which really pop out the screen.
Yeah.
And having that kind of like all of the character models and everything are quite like curvy, and that sounds a bit weird, but they look good on like with colourful curvy characters, you know, it's, everything looks beautiful and fun, and I don't know, it's got that kind of vibe to it that makes you just want to feel all happy inside, and you smile at everything, even like the small animation touches and all the small environmental changes they make.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything they do is hyper polished and hyper stylized, right?
Yeah, I mean, Odyssey is such a fantastic game.
It like, has so many crazy small details in it that like you can really can like tell that they spent a hell of a lot of time just polishing the game.
I love as well with games like Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, where Ryan and I have both played them separately, where I'll be watching Ryan play it, and I'd have already played it once, and I'll look at it and be like, oh, he's doing something completely different to what I did, or he'll find a different secret that I did, and then I'll find something that maybe you didn't, and we kind of teach each other, and it's that really nice experience of playing two exact same games, but playing them quite differently.
I think like Mario just has really interesting level design in general to help you kind of like find all of the hidden power moons and stuff. That it's like, I think it is quite interesting to watch other people try and find all these hidden power moons because they're picking up on different things that you didn't pick up.
Yeah. That is cool. I don't know. It's great. I never liked Mario in the past at all. I'd never got it.
Neither did I.
It just felt like the same platformer to me. But yeah. I'm glad we tried it because it was one of the best games I played last year by far.
Well, Legend of Zelda.
And Persona.
Yeah, but you still haven't completed Persona.
I'm literally on the last dungeon now. I thought I was on the last dungeon, but now I'm on the last dungeon, and I'm really excited, but I can't talk about it because obviously, major spoilers, it's the last chapter. But I'm like 80 hours in. I know it's taken a very long time to get to 80 hours, but, you know, playing a home console is quite hard to find the time to sit down and play it. Like we were saying, Switch, we can literally just...
Switch is so good.
Easily.
Just for commuting.
And when you're laying in bed, you know, before you go to sleep, it's, and especially with games like Stardew Valley, where you just get into that just another day kind of thing, where you're playing it and you're like, oh, just one more day, just because it all kind of starts all over
again. I think it's just like massively easy to put in like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and it really adds up.
Exactly.
It's not like a PS4 where you kind of like have to spend ages like switching it on, getting into the game and stuff. I feel like Switch is actually really fast to actually get into a game.
Chat, what's your best highs of the Nintendo Switch so far? Is there any particular games that you thought were, you know, particularly amazing for the past year? What's your kind of feeling? I feel in terms of my lows for the Switch, I would actually say ARMS, and that's not because I thought the game was rubbish.
So sad.
Quite the contrary. I think it's a good game. I just don't think it was ever going to do well because you can't get a competitive multiplayer, like, online fighter.
With motion controls.
It was just never going to happen. And that's the saddest thing, is that even with the original basic design of it, because obviously the whole game was designed around, you know, fighting with the Joy-Cons and that kind of feedback, and that was the whole point, right? And it's sad that the whole concept of it was essentially what made the game not be successful in the first place.
Well, it's just like people who play fighting games quite a lot play them because of like the pinpoint accuracy feedback of pressing a button and knowing it will do one thing, and then having that lead to like a combination and stuff. Like the idea of not knowing if you're going to throw a punch and it's going to go one way or another and it's going to deal a certain amount of damage is just a huge put off for a lot of people, I think.
I think it's just a shame because it's a beautiful game. As you say, it's really well polished.
Yep.
It's easy to pick up. Like I was playing it with my little cousin over Christmas and he hadn't even played a Switch before, and he literally picked it up and was like, right, I get it, you know, I understand how to block, I understand, you know, if I punch that way, it's going to happen, this is going to happen. Like, it was quite intuitive for him. And, you know, it's friendly, it's got really nice character design. There's so much to like about it. The mini games are cool. It's just a shame that, ultimately, it was never going to be a success.
Splatoon 2 hasn't done amazingly well either, has it?
I mean, it did pretty well.
It did pretty well, but like, I think as a multiplayer game, it could have done so much better, especially seeing as what like how good it actually is as a multiplayer game. It's just kind of like strange that it's not taken that kind of like multiplayer scene by storm. Especially as it's like, how many other like actual multiplayer games are there on Switch? In terms of like,
not many other first party. I guess there's Mario Kart and games like that.
Like competitive stuff. I mean, there's ARMS, Splatoon. Does Doom have multiplayer? But it's not like proper multiplayer, is it?
I don't know. Why did you stop playing Splatoon 2? I think that's kind of the first point in
gameplay ran dry. I think it has the same issue with Overwatch, where you have a certain amount of game modes and stuff, and they're all kind of like the same style, and it just wears thin for me after about 50 hours or so. Like Overwatch, I've hit like 100, and like you have things like payload and like capturing areas and things like that, but because it all feels like the same kind of like style of mechanics, so like after 100 hours, it's like eh.
Mm.
I can't want to move on to the next thing.
I found with Switch, my main problem was the lobby and the kind of matchmaking, because
it was
frustrating how you would get to a certain level and you'd be doing really well, and then you'd keep getting rubbish people being put into your team, and then maybe you'd be against two matches and there'd be all Japanese amazing players on one. Not to generalise, but they're all pretty amazing. And then the rest of us and all like the newbies would come on, and you'd be in a team of maybe like two level two players, and opposite would be loads of, you know, amazing veterans of Splatoon, and you just wouldn't stand a chance. And then if you're playing ranked, then you would lose all your points, and it was just like, I don't know, I felt like they could have balanced it a lot better, and that would have made me play it for longer, personally. Although the Splatfest, every now and again I do see them and I think, maybe I'll come back and play one more.
The way they, I don't know if it's just because I'm a graphic designer and I like visual things though, but the way that they market a lot of like the weapons and updates and stuff on Twitter is always like really nice. That it's always like looks really fantastic visually, and I see just like this new weapon that's coming, and they'll do like lots of little things around it, and like I really buy into that. I'm just like, Jesus, I should start playing again. That looks pretty cool as a weapon. So like, do I actually want to go back and play this game just for one weapon, just because it looks kind of cool?
I mean, Sheldon would be proud. He'd be very very proud. I think it's a shame that Splatoon 2 didn't come off as well as we all hoped it would.
Yeah.
Obviously, it sold really great, and it is a good game. It's just the longevity of it, I don't think, has quite lasted the same way that maybe the original Splatoon did.
They kept doing updates for the first Splatoon for quite a while, didn't they?
Yeah, they were still supporting it, even when the Wii U was...
But then I think it also lent
its grave.
I think it lent its hand to it that Wii U was so crap in terms of titles that Splatoon was on there, and it was kind of like the main thing to play. So a lot of people, of course, just kept playing it just because they owned a Wii U. And
hold on, Captain Toad was the main thing to play.
Yeah, but like once you completed it, like that's it, right? But with Splatoon, it's like this multiplayer game that was actually on the Wii U, and there wasn't that much else coming out, I don't think.
I think as well, when I think about, you know, the best things about last year when the Switch just come out, and the array of games that came out as well, I think were really good in inviting non-gamers to play alongside me, with me.
So I actually wanted to talk about this when you were talking about ARMS, right? So
okay, tell me.
I actually took, well, you know, but I took my Switch over to my family's house over Christmas, and we played, what was it
1-2 Switch.
1-2 Switch. And it was incredible to watch my family, who have never really been into video games, to actually just pick up the Switch and instantly be able to play with it. Like, my mum, my...
She loved that Rumble HD, didn't
my
she?
My stepdad, they've never been into... they've never been into games, they've never played games before. But being able to watch people who just instantly kind of, like, pick up a controller and just get it is, like, a crazy experience.
I thought it was incredible watching your mum milking a cow, and they were they really enjoyed that like ball counting one as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they were doing the safe cracking. They enjoyed that.
Yeah.
The most hilarious one was watching Ryan's stepdad doing the food eating.
Oh
one,
yeah, where you have to hold it up.
Like this. Oh my! It was hilarious. He was doing such over-exaggerated movements, but it worked. He was really good at it.
I think it's just such an interesting thing that you just kind of like take away the screen aspect of having to kind of like, you know, play to on-screen visuals and things like that, and break it down to just, okay, you just move the controller in this certain way and that's how you win the game.
I also thought it was really cool how it also made us on a level playing field.
Yeah.
Where even though, obviously...
I mean, like, my family won a few times, right?
Definitely. And I would say we're definitely good gamers.
Yeah.
As things go, you're potentially more skilled than me. Maybe.
But, like, it was weird seeing my family being able to win these kind of games. Just
exactly.
Because they've never picked anything like this up before.
Because it's just intuitive movements, which they know in normal daily life. So,
like milking a cow. They know how to milk a cow.
Don't we all? Oh my god, I'll never forget when I was at the Nintendo Switch preview event before it came out. It was in London, I went with one of my colleagues. I think there's a video on my YouTube and you can see me milking the cow. And my god, my face when I win is of pure joy. I don't think I've ever looked so happy to have like milked this digital cow. I'm wearing this like ridiculous hat, and it's in this really weird red lighting. It was like a weird, like a seedy room for like milking a cow, and me and my colleague Christina are like looking into each other's eyes really deeply, like going like this. And then I just turn around and I'm like, it's just like that pure joy moment. And I think they were getting that as well, weren't they? Mm. Your family. I think they were getting that kind of pure joy that Nintendo brings, and no one else can do like that. I thoroughly believe.
Mm.
Even games like Snipperclips. I brought Snipperclips, even just the demo, into the office just after the Switch came out, and I was showing some of my colleagues who don't really play games as well, like how to do it, and they were actually helping me do these puzzles that I couldn't even figure out myself.
Like, yeah, you're crap with puzzles.
Yeah, all right. But, like, you know, it was so cool how they would just pick up a Joy-Con and, you know, understand how to use it and understand how it all kind of worked. And I think that's just something you can't do with, like, a DualShock or, you know...
Well, it's all just because you're actually kind of trying to play with all these on-screen visuals and stuff and understand all these, like, menu systems and gameplay mechanics and, like, audio cues and, like, a complete, like, flurry of things that people have never played games before. You know, I think we take for granted how kind of like easily we can pick up games just because we've played them for so long and understand like certain audio cues and things that have just been kind of like hardwired into us.
Yeah.
For a person to like who's never even touched a game to be able to just pick up a controller, understand that the base idea of okay, A is like usually jump, like the, or is it X that's on?
Yeah, X or like whatever.
Just stuff like that. It's kind of like hardwired. Like the triggers at the back are going to be shoot, like. Things like that, it's just like I think we take for granted.
Pressing in the, you know, the thumbstick, normally crouch or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, I know what you mean. You kind of pick these things up over time, and that's, I think, also what made the Wii controller special, right? Is that, that it took all of that away immediately. You know, my nan was playing bloody tennis with me. I think that says a lot. I loved so much when Wii came out. My nan, bless her, just did not get the concept of a video game console at all. And she just kept saying to me, can you buy me that controller that lets me play tennis? And I'm like, no, you have to have a like a console. And she's like, no, I just need the controller. I just need to be able to play the tennis game. I'm like, and she's like, can I play tennis with you at home? I'm like, no.
I mean, you got a lot of that when you used to work at Game, right?
Oh, God. When I used to work at Game in Oxford, I used to have the most sweet, dear people coming in ever. And it was still when we were selling quite a lot. I think it was towards the end of the Wii cycle, life cycle, because I remember Pandora's Tower was due to come out around that time, because a lot of people came in to ask me about that. And I used to get the most cute old people ever coming in being like, my granddaughter showed me how to play golf. Where can I buy golf? And I'm like, I think I know what you mean. And do you remember I was telling you that time when someone came in and they were trying to buy a thermostat for their oven? And this old man came up to me and was like, where can I buy a thermostat? I'm like, not here. It's called Game. Clues in the title.
But did you try to get him to pre-order the next Call of Duty?
Oh, you bet. My first day, I had to call up like 100 people and try and get them to pre-order Call of Duty. What even would have been Black Ops? I think was it.
Yeah, it would have been.
I think
it
was Black Ops 1. Black Ops 2, I don't know. Yeah, and I had to literally. I was terrified of even talking to people, strangers, and I was in this cupboard like, hi. Do you want to pre-order Call of Duty? And they're like, no. But I persevered. Anyway, that's enough of my boring time at Game over.
Oh, the great times.
It was good times. They used to play Britney Spears in the storeroom all the time. That was enough for me. I was down there as much as possible. What else are we going to talk about? The future of Nintendo. The future of Switch. What do you think about the Labo? Because we haven't really talked about it yet, have we?
I think it's like a cool concept. I just don't like care that much about it. Plus, like, there's a large part of me that thinks cardboard is cheap as hell. Like, why is this so expensive?
Yeah.
Like, I get that a lot goes into software development and things like that. I understand that bit, but is it like £70
for it? I don't know. Too expensive.
Yeah.
We've just literally just spent ages trying to get rid of cardboard out of our house. Like, we've just moved home and bought. We did this stupid move, which we thought was really clever at the time because we couldn't be bothered to bring over all of our crap furniture and fix it. So we bought everything from IKEA. Like, everything. You think of something, we bought it from IKEA. Yeah. Like, these desks. Like, literally everything. And at first we thought, that'll be fine. And then we got the IKEA delivery, and oh my god, the man literally was like, I have never delivered this much stuff before. He was like, did you buy quite enough? It's a really small house.
I mean, we bought pretty much an entire house worth of furniture, so...
It's true. It was so bad. And the funny thing about it all was that afterwards we were left with so much cardboard that there's a picture of Ryan downstairs in our living room where he's literally, like, climbing over all of these boxes just to get to, like, the sink. And it was just...
Good times.
And we could have made that all into Nintendo Labo and then sold that off at £70 a pop.
Yeah. Could have made a Labo house.
Why didn't we build our house out of Labo? Who knows? I'm not sure on Nintendo Labo, to be honest. I think it's cool.
You were hyped as hell when the announcement came out, though.
I don't know. I was like, well, that's cool. I think it's cool for kids. I think if I had a young child or, you know...
I don't know. I'd be pretty annoyed if they asked for it.
Well, because it's expensive.
Expensive and it's cardboard. I'd be like, literally, go
Labo's
get some.
Expensive.
Yeah, but like, I'd just be like, there's some cardboard in the corner. Go play with that. Like, you don't need a controller. You can turn that into like a little ship or something.
Yeah, but you can't make that into a robot that like fights with you, can
you? Yeah, you can. You can. You just need to use your imagination.
Oh, here we go.
Kids these days, they don't have imagination.
Oh, dear. Dave said, looks cool, and I want a cardboard piano, but I don't think I'll bother with it. I agree. Is that a mechanical keyboard with custom keys, I see.
Yeah, it is. That's a Philco.
Hold on. I'm not going to...
Philco Magistouch.
I'm not going to get mine out because it's behind
the
weeb,
the weeb board.
Mine's got hiragana on it. And it's got...
It's got bubble tea keycaps.
Bubble tea keycaps as well. Mm. Ryan's a bit of a keyboard aficionado, aren't you?
I spend way too much on keys.
Ryan lives his life on mass drop, like...
Yep.
Oh, look what you've started. Look what you've started. No, stop it.
Good
don't
times.
Don't egg him on. We've got enough. Literally, if you could see when we moved house, a whole like bloody box of it was mechanical keyboards, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Who needs that many keyboards? You need one keyboard, come on.
No, I have different sizes and stuff, and then I have my different keycap sets with all different colours and stuff.
I don't get it. It's a waste of money.
Good times.
Anyway, what were we seeing recently? Let's talk about movies. Because we haven't really talked
about
it.
We've seen loads recently.
We've seen some good stuff. We've seen The Shape of Water, Fishman Lovin's.
It's so weird.
Did we go see it on Valentine's Day?
I think we did.
Ooh. Swiggity swoo. I think it was a beautiful film.
It was a really nicely done film. Like,
Del Toro smashed it.
Also, cinematography was really great. The colour grading was incredible. Everything was so good, but it was so weird.
It only got weird. Okay, no, it was weird from the beginning. I was thinking, did it only get weird when with the fishman rumpy pumps? But then...
Yeah.
No, it was weird from the beginning. I was talking about it...
Lady in the Bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
I was literally talking about it with one of my work colleagues the other day. And I was like, it's a really beautiful film. And he was like, the first 2 seconds you see a lady going at it in the bath. And I was like, yeah, okay. Not that bit. That bit wasn't beautiful. But I think it was a good film. I would watch it again. I would recommend it.
Yeah, I'd watch it just because it is like a very pretty film. Like, it's really well done. It's just, it's weird.
The actors are great.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Although it does have nothing to do with Hellboy, which I was convinced it did.
Yeah, I thought it was as well, but...
It's not Abe Sapien. We found this out. No. It's not true.
No, it isn't.
Thought it was a cool... Would have been a cool, like, origin story, but sadly no. What else did we see? We saw Black Panther. Have any of you guys seen Black Panther yet? I feel like the whole world has by now, no? We were quite late to see it.
Yeah, we were quite late.
What did you think about Black Panther?
I loved it. I loved pretty much every part of it, apart from the story.
Mm.
Like, and I'm not talking about this in, like, a way of which, like, the characters were great, like the settings were great, all that kind of stuff, and like the actual concept of the story was really good. I loved it. I just didn't like the way it was laid out. Like, I don't really want to drop spoilers in this. No, I'm not gonna drop spoilers, but I didn't like the way it was laid out. That was all it was, really.
Well, my friend said before I went to see it, she was like, when you watch it, think about The Lion King. And when she said that to me, I was like, she didn't really, that's all she said, and I was like, okay. And I sat down And as the movie started, it's like playing, I was like, ah.
It's
great. The Lion King.
It's great, though.
It's the Lion King.
It's great.
It even has the trippy Mufasa dream scene. Like, everything is the same. I don't know if maybe, you know, the person who, I don't know, screenwriter, whatever you say in movie terms, sat there and watched The Lion King one night and was like, this is a great story. Let's add superheroes. Like, that's kind of what it felt to me. I think it was a really good film. I thought it was very... All the actors were amazing. I really liked the villain.
Yeah, villain was cool.
What was he called? Eric Killmonger. Michael B. Jordan, is that right?
Yeah.
The actor. Who is a big anime fan as well. So... But he, I thought, was actually an interesting villain because he actually had some depth to him. I won't spoil it, but he was, like, you know, he actually had a reason that you could understand why he was doing all these things. You were like, I kind of get it. And I think that's missing from a lot of Marvel enemies in a way, isn't it? You're kind of like, why are you being such a butthole? Just stop trying to kill everyone. Whereas this guy, you were like, I see your point. Yeah. And that's what I liked about it, but... I don't know. It was okay. I think everyone's just hyping it up so much. I think it just needs to chill it so that people can go in with a bit more of an even mind about it. But.
I think that's probably your problem with Star Wars movies as well. That there's so much hype on Twitter and stuff about Star Wars movies, Yeah, but I feel like it's because everyone's constantly natting to you about like how good these Star Wars movies are. I
think everyone's just in a delusion. Lion King or Kimba? What's Kimba? I have no idea. Kimbra, the singer? I don't know, I just think with Star Wars, they're okay, but just, the last one was quite good.
Last Jedi?
Yeah, that was alright.
You just like the bit with Mark
Simba.
Hamill.
There we go. Is it like The Lion King or Simba? Are we talking Simba's Pride, like the second film? That's what that's called, right? It is literally like The Lion King. Like, it's not even the main character.
Which is, like, the way that it's laid out. Like, no spoilers, but, like, it's about being, like, dethroned and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mufasa. Mufasa dies. You then talk to Mufasa in a dream. He's like, go on, Simba. Simba goes on. It's, like, the same thing. You just have to change all the character names over, and it really works scene from scene. But... You know, I'm not gonna pretend I'm a movie buff. Maybe that's okay in the movie world.
I mean, Avatar did it.
Yeah, but Avatar's another film which was too long. I don't know. I think I'm maybe a little bit cynical about movies. It takes quite a lot to impress me, I think.
Yeah.
Avatar's so long, I just needed the toilet, like, immediately. Do you remember?
Mm.
Too long. Too long. So blue. What else have we seen recently? We watched Spider-Man Homecoming the other night.
Yeah, because it was my birthday, so we did a nerd night of watching films that we haven't seen. So we watched Spider-Man and Thor.
Mm.
What did you think?
Of which?
Both.
Thor Ragnarok, too funny. It's not even funny. Like, it was just bad jokes. And
I like some of them.
I didn't like seeing Chris Hemsworth try and be funny.
I like some of like the Hulk Thor interactions.
I felt like he was trying to be Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy too much.
A little bit, yeah.
And I was just like, no, that's not who you are, Thor. Stop. Yeah. And it was okay. Just didn't. I loved the cameo. Who was it? Playing Loki's actor.
Mm.
Oh my god, what's his
Matt
name?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon cameo. Yes. Wasn't even in the credits. Checked. And Ryan and I literally had like a mini argument halfway through the film where I was like, that was Matt Damon. You were like, it's not Matt Damon.
I just thought it was a guy that looked like Matt Damon.
It was. And I was very proud to have won that. But it was okay. I would give it 2.5 out of 5.
What?
Yeah.
That low?
Yeah. It was alright. Spider-Man Homecoming, much better. Much better.
I didn't like Spider-Man
Homecoming
as much.
Would give it 3.5 out of 5.
Like, I would give Spider-Man 3.5 out of 5 and then 4, like, maybe a 4.
I don't know what films we watched. I feel like we watched different films.
Mm.
Spider-Man Homecoming was cute.
But then, I think, like, my issue with films is that because I do design as a job, I'm, like, much more open to art direction and visuals over the actual film itself. Just a bit of a curse.
So then why wouldn't you you pick Spider-Man, because that had much better art direction.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. Even the ending credits were great.
The ending credits are great, right? But, like, in terms of a film, like, the sections with Thor on, like, the Junker planet look incredible.
Identical.
And then, like, the general, like, city makeup of Thor City that I've forgotten the name of.
Asgard.
Asgard, that's it. Well done. Well done.
For a 2.5 out of 5. The costumes were incredible
yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Like, they, you know, they go balls to the walls on our direction with Thor.
I just don't feel like it was okay to cut Thor's hair off.
I can't remember the end credits for Thor, though.
See you later, Rob.
Because, like, no, because, like, Spider-Man's ones were really good. I can't remember them as much before.
I don't remember much
of it. It was just like a load of flat backgrounds, right? That were like silhouetted, if I remember correctly. And they had like different shades and it was going through like the different areas of the film.
I don't remember at all.
Doing that kind of thing.
Who knows? What else have we... We've been watching quite a lot of anime recently on Netflix. Netflix is doing so great for anime. They've also just announced that they're doing 30 new series slash movies, originals, this year. They're investing a lot.
Yeah, it's getting really good. I've just started watching... Is it Dandy Space?
Space Dandy.
Space Dandy, that's it. Sick.
Dandy Space.
Space Dandy. Really good. Opening episode is some of the coolest and wackiest animation scenes I've seen in a while.
It just... I overheard...
You overheard some
all
really...
All I heard was the word boobies being said a lot.
Restaurants as well.
I was just lying in bed and I was like, what are you watching? All I can hear is Oppai.
It's pretty crazy. But like the actual...
The dance was cool.
It wasn't really a fight scene so much, but it was just the characters on like a planet and just like a... You know, like Mob Psycho kind of like fight scenes and stuff where it gets a bit like trippy? It was a little bit like that where it's just like
really
over the top kind of like explosions and... character movements and stuff,
cool.
But it looked incredible.
Nice. I'm trying to think what else has been. I mean, obviously, Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah.
We played Man Human as the waiting music at the beginning of the stream, so I hope you all enjoyed that. I mean, I made a video about it recently, so it kind of goes without saying that I thought it was one of the best things I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, like, I think 2018 is going to be pretty hard to top in anime, just because it came out, it was in January that it came out. And I was like, well, that's it for anime, like, this year. It's kind of ruined it for me.
It's just, it's amazing, and I definitely will go back and watch it again. It's one of those things.
I think you missed, like, the first few episodes, didn't you? Because I watched ahead without you, and then you jumped in.
So far, I've only missed a portion of episode 3, because I've been back and watched them now. It's just so good. If you're open to slightly violent, slightly sexual content... And you just really want, I don't know.
It's like really over the top, but like it's just really cool.
But it's also quite deep and meaningful as well. It's got a lot of like,
it's meant to be quite philosophical, right?
It's one of those movies that, well, not movies, series, is that when it finishes, you'll sit back and you'll just be like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, it ends like a proper kind of like downer. It's not an upper kind of anime or film or whatever you want to like say. Like, I know, like, a lot of films have the tendency to always try and end
on
a high, but this is just like, no, you're not getting a high at the end of this.
We were, like, walking to the station together, like, to go to work the next day after finishing it, and it was one of those ones where we actually had, like an ethical debate as we were going to the station about it, and I think any anime that can kind of make you talk about, like, the meaning of life and, like, humanity and all those kind of things, that's quite impressive for an anime to... kind of make you think like that and make you talk about that kind of stuff, so would recommend. Don't feel like we're studying it much, but also has some great J-rap scenes if you like Japanese rap.
Very odd throw-in. I don't feel like many animes have done that kind of stuff in general.
No, it was kind of like the raps that were in the anime were kind of forming like the backbone of the whole story as well, so what they were saying was kind of like, it was kind of pacing the way, wasn't it, for the next scene?
Yeah.
It was really interesting how it was done, so would definitely recommend. Try and see a list. Oh my God. Full Metal Alchemist live action.
I watched about half an hour and I couldn't do it. It's just poor. It's so poor. I just didn't enjoy it at all.
But I'm not... I never watched Full Metal
Alchemist.
I've
watched pretty much all of Brotherhood nearly twice. It's so well done. It's such a good... anime series. I wasn't as keen on the actual main, like, original series of Fullmetal Alchemist, but Brotherhood's incredible. The movie's just... It's not good.
It's just not good.
It's really not good. Like, the acting's bad. Like, the characters are really portrayed, in my opinion. Some of the CG's pretty crap. It's just overall not fantastic. Some of the costumes are actually quite cool. They, because it's all set in, like, Europe. I think Italy, kind of, what costumes, like, I don't know what era you would say the costumes were from.
I'm not sure.
You're a bit better with history than I am.
I haven't watched it, so I'm not very sure.
You watched the Italy scenes, though, where they were in the square, though, and you saw, like, all the background characters who were also, like, even, like, the extras, their acting was super bad as well. Like, they didn't really know what to do with themselves, because, like, they're all kind of, like, standing in the background of, like an explosion screen, like, scene or something, and they're all just kind of, like, sitting there just being like...
Oh no! What do I do?
But that's, like, the extent of it, right? Mm. That's, like, actually how they're acting. It's terrible.
I mean... I feel like you could get... Did you just watch the first episode? You didn't watch the second?
No, it's a movie.
Oh, it's a movie?
It's a movie.
I thought it wasn't like a series.
No, I think it's a movie.
So you just watched a bit of it, you didn't finish it?
No, I didn't finish it.
I mean, if it's anything like the Death Note one, then I didn't finish that either.
Well, the Western one.
Yeah.
I watched it because it was that bad. I watched all of it because it was horrendous.
I couldn't.
I watched it from the standpoint where, because I'm not as emotionally attached to Death Note, I could just watch it and, like, laugh about it just because it was bad.
It didn't have the chip scene, guys. It didn't have the, chip. This potato chip. What's the point? I don't know. Right. Quick fire questions.
Right.
Ryan Page. I'm really hoping you can't see my notes. My show notes. Don't look.
Can't look this way then.
So, have you been reading the gaming news recently?
No, I haven't. Not at all.
When do you ever?
Some weeks I pop over to, like, Polygon and IGN and stuff and see what's going on, but this week, like, I usually kind of get my news from Twitter if I just randomly see it in my news feed. The only thing I can talk about is Hideo Kojima and Grimes, and that's it.
As in, Kojima was recently in London and...
He also met Grimes!
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Grimes, if you haven't listened to her music, is fantastic. It's, like, amazing pop, but kind of electro vibes. Quite weird. A little bit high-pitched and squeaky at first. You listen to it and you're like, what the hell is this voice?
It's good, though. It's very different.
Very, very good. Love Grimes. That's my little spiel about her there. But anyway, we're going to ask you 5 questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
So my first one is... There was actually a VR game that came out recently that just got reviewed, that actually got good review scores, and is a VR game that I want to play. What is the VR game?
Is it VR chat?
No.
are we talking about a specific platform? Can I ask that question?
It's PSVR.
PSVR. I have no clue.
Can you think of a single PSVR game?
No, not really. Like, not PSVR.
Chat, do you know? Anyone remember?
Like, the only PSVR stuff I know about is because of your demo work with PSVR, so... I don't know that many about, like, actual PSVR full games.
Well, it was Moss. Do you remember Moss?
Nope.
Good start. Moss is a really cute kind of third-person perspective puzzle game where you have a little mouse... And I can't think of the mouse's name, actually. My brain has completely gone. But you kind of solve puzzles using the mouse and kind of guiding... I think it's a she on, like, through these little... I don't know. Puzzles? Worlds? It looks super cute. And the best thing is that the mouse knows sign language. How sweet is that?
Do you say it's top-down?
Kind of, yeah. It's like...
How does, like, PSVR play into that, then?
Quite well, actually, because you feel like a bit like a god controlling
things. Do you, like, rotate the level? Or is it, like, you looking around the level and stuff?
I think so. I haven't played it, actually, myself. I've watched other people's
play. I could kind of see that playing into a scenario where, you know, with Captain Toad, where it kind of, like, has, like, because it's, like, a 3D level, and a platformer that you have like different parts of the world that you can flip around and stuff. I could see that working really well with PSVR, just because you could kind of like look at the same world from different angles to try and figure out a puzzle.
Mm.
If they haven't done it, they should put that in, because that's a really cool idea.
I think there's a couple of other puzzle games on PSVR, like Wayward Sky and stuff like that, that do it really well. But Moss, got really good review scores, which I'm really happy about, because it's cute, it's really beautiful, well-polished. It's just a nice game. And it's
such a risk as well to actually develop for PSVR and VR games in general, so it's nice to see something being well-received. I hope it does well.
I hope if any of you have got a PSVR headset, I don't, unfortunately, that you give it a good old well, because I think it's a good one. So, question number two, on the complete other end of the spectrum, we were talking about today, so I'd be very surprised if you don't know the answer to this question, but what game recently came out as a PC port of a very classic RPG? What game got universally slated on Steam, and why?
Was it Final Fantasy? No. It's a JRPG.
Mm-hmm. Classic. Absolute classic. Great soundtrack.
I know what it is, and it's in my head, and I can't think of what it is.
Thank you for the follow. Come on. The second word, let's play a game, the second word is something that's on a gun.
Chrono Trigger. There we go. I was thinking of Children of Mana for some reason.
No, Chrono Trigger. And do you know why it got such bad reviews? Being such, obviously, a classic that everybody
Wasn't it that
loves.
They redid the menu systems and stuff in like such an odd way as well?
I think it's the... From what I understand of it, I haven't played the new PC port, but everyone's saying that it's... just looks awful, like the pixel resolution just looks awful, like all the sprites are blurry, apparently the controls just feel really off. I actually played it on my mobile. I played the mobile port, didn't think it was that bad on mobile, obviously a lot better. I've got it on SNES as well, but
I think it's odd, like, seeing as there are quite like a decent amount of games out there that have previously been like upscaled / remastered for PC, which used to be old sprite games like Age of Empires 2, which has been like remastered and it still looks fantastic, like as a game, and like they've remastered, it doesn't look blurry or anything, they haven't like upscaled it so that it looks like crap.
I think it's just such a shame. It's like a game that's such a classic, so many people love and care about, that it's as if they just didn't invest any love or attention into the port at all, which
I'm sure they did.
It was a Square Enix one, so I'm very disappointed. Maybe they did it third party, I don't know, but I don't know. How have I not got a PSVR headset?
Good question.
I am an absolute wuss. Like, I'm a really big wuss, and I actually am really scared of VR.
I have epilepsy, so probably not a great idea.
I literally played, I don't know if any of you have played The Deep. It's one, no, it's not even called that anymore. Ocean's Descent, is it called now? It's one of the VR World's bundle games. Oh my god. It's meant to be, okay, there's a shark attack in it, so that bit's kind of scary. But there's meant to be this really calming bit at the beginning where you just see like a turtle float past. There's some beautiful, like, what are they called? The electric-y things. Jellyfish. And you're meant to be like, ooh, ah, so lovely. I played it and I was like, get that turtle away from me. It was coming way too near my face. I was like, ah. And I literally spent, I got like 2-3 years helping demo PSVR. And, you know, I generally do think it's a cool system and there's some cool games for it. But it just terrified me. Every time I had to playtest Kitchen, I was just like, Please at this end.
Well, this is like a controversial question, but is it? Do you think it's because we've, as gamers, like we're both like 24 now, so we've been playing on like mouse, keyboard, controller and stuff for so long, we're so used to the idea of just having a controller and like a screen in front of us, that VR in general is always going to feel a little bit odd and disjointed because it's not part of our generation?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, a lot of people seem to be adapting to it okay.
Yeah.
But for me, I would say that even when I play first-person games, I am terrified. So I think it's just a general, I'm a wuss.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like odd just because I see so many kind of like younger kids being more into playing games purely on their iPad and phones and stuff rather than a console. They're kind of like growing into that kind of thing.
Maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see the next generation if they kind of adapt to VR quicker.
Yeah.
You never know.
Mm.
What is the next question? Okay, so you definitely know the answer to this one because you were the one who showed me. But let's see if you remember anyway. What really weird skin pack has just come to Final Fantasy 15?
Oh, it's The Sims. Oh, that looks great. Oh, God.
Describe it.
Isn't it like a superhero pack or something? I can't remember
it's
what it is.
It's a llama? It's like a neon llama. It's like a superhero outfit. But
yeah,
it's a
yeah.
Llama. And you get the green thing. Is it? Okay, I've never said this word out loud, so I don't know if this is how you say it. Plumbob? Plumbob? What do you call
Plumbob?
What do you call the green things?
I don't know.
They've got an official term, and I think it's the plumbob.
It sounds like a piece of IKEA furniture.
No, that's the Rechneft plug.
The famous Rechneft.
No,
just the table.
Is it? Is that the table?
No.
No. Who knows? I can't even remember a single piece of what our furniture is called. Oh my god. Okay, so that was good. That was one question you've got right so far. Claps all round.
Nice.
Question number four. Oh, this is a good one. So what game accidentally got released for free? Last week.
I saw this.
Only in North America.
It was a demo. They released it as a demo, and I can't think. No, I have no idea. I saw it, but I can't remember the name of the game.
Any idea? Come on, it's made by Sega. Well, published by Sega.
I can't even think of what Sega games are coming out.
It's Japanese. It's a gangster game. I don't know how many more hints I can
Yakuza? Drop. Yakuza?
Yes.
There we go.
Yakuza 6. They tried to release the demo in North America. And it, for some reason in Europe, it was fine. Like, it just was the demo. But in North America, the download was 30 gig file. And people downloaded it.
How would you
it.
Not see that as, like, the publisher and think, well, why is our...
Why is the demo so big?
Why is the demo so big? Why?
Plumbob.
There we go. Plumbob.
Am I saying it right? Plumbob. And they just didn't realise that. So obviously where the demo is meant to end and then, you know, it's meant to go to set. It just carried on. So people had a full game. So I wonder if anyone was lucky enough to play Yakuza 6 full. But unfortunately, we do not live in the US. So sad times. Would have been a nice free one to get, wouldn't it?
Apparently it's wrong.
Then that's wrong. How am I saying it then? Okay, come on. Type out exactly how you should say it.
Plumbob.
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 Plumbob. This is going to be an hour-long stream of us trying to say the green thing.
Mm.
I can't think of any more ways of saying it. Plumbob.
Plumboob.
You said boob. Oh, dear. Hi there, Dizzy. There we go. I was going to say Drizzy. But even though I've got glasses on, I'm still very, very blind. Chat box is very small. Dizzy, do you know how to say plumbob?
Just...
Please help. Oh, God. Right, okay. And lastly, it's not really a quiz question, but what do you think of the new Overwatch character, Bridget?
Played a little bit of her. Actually played a little bit of her.
Oh, did you?
On the public test region. She's really sick. I really like her. I'm going to keep saying the
sick,
word sick.
Man.
But... I have.
She's a healthy girl. Leave her alone.
I have like a really weird thing about characters who have like massive shields. I really like the kind of like character design of having like a massive shield.
That's why you like Monster Hunter then.
Yeah. But like, and like some of her skills and stuff are really cool. She has a chain that she uses to push characters away, and then. She also has like a shield that she can walk around with, and I think she has a heal. No, it isn't a heal, but it's like a shield kind of thing.
She's a support character.
Yeah, she's a support character, but she can give like she's a bit of a mixture of support slash tank.
So she's a bit more offensive than Mercy.
I mean not so much offensive rather than offensive. No, she's like defensive because she has like a reasonable amount of health, and then she also has like her own like little shield that she holds up that people can get behind. and then she can give other characters shields because she is the child of Torbjorn. And one of Torbjorn's things...
See, the beardy boy.
Yeah, it's the little beardy dwarf guy who drops shields, like little shield packs and stuff. Mm. So the idea is that, you know, she's inherited this kind of like skill from him. And that she can give shields to other like characters.
How did you say her daddy's name?
Torbjorn.
I've never known how to say that. Torbjorn. I'm not good at words. This is what I've learned. I'm not good at all. Dave, what are you saying? I've changed my mind. I think that's right. So we're saying it's...
Plumbob.
Plumbob. I really think by the end of the stream we need to figure out how to say it. I think it's crucial.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. So you enjoyed your time with Bridget?
That's good. Like, I usually jump on Overwatch every time like there's a new character just because it mixes up the actual meta in game for a bit. It makes it a bit more interesting to play.
But then you find, when you go on, is everyone trying to play the same character?
Yes, so...
Is there a rule against that now?
If you go on public test region, they always have Arcade up, which has a game mode in it where everyone can play the same character if they want to. So, like, there's no limit on how many of each character you can have, so everyone can just play as her.
Is it... So when you went on, was it literally just everybody?
It was literally just the entire team as her.
What was it like having so many Bridgettes on one...
It's fun. Like, some of like the gameplay modes and stuff kind of like spice up Overwatch a lot, so it's funny.
I was just laughing because Dave said that's one hell of a cup. It's so massive, big.
It's not quite sportsdirect.com size, is it though?
These are my babies. I'm so proud of these mugs. It was such a big decision buying this crockery, and I'm so glad that you appreciate them. I just want to say thank you. They were really expensive. And they're actually handmade in Portugal. And we've got the whole set. And the plates are so big that when you try and have your dinner, it's as if we're at some kind of fancy bistro restaurant and we've just got a small portion of it in the middle of this massive plate. So thank you for noticing. They're really nice.
They're really nice. The plates are nice as well.
They're just so big. The bowl, the ramen bowls are hilarious, aren't they, as well?
Yep.
They're just like...
I don't think they're big enough.
What?
Well, like, if you go out to Japan, like, you actually have, like, a proper, like, large ramen bowl, like, it'll be, like, half-filled, and there'll still be quite a lot of space at the top. It's huge. So I think we need to invest in some high-end ramen bowls.
Okay. You've just had your birthday, so we're going to have to wait a while for that one.
And they're just bowls, right?
They're never just bulls. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much it. We've been live for an hour now. How have you found that? How have you found your first live podcasting experience?
It's been alright, it's been pretty chill.
Did you swear?
I think I swore once.
I said boobies. Is boobies okay?
Oh, pie.
I think generally, we're just not ever going to be able to be family friendly. Ever. But that's fine.
It's not too bad, though. It's not like we're... doing major bad words. Major bad words.
Poopies.
But yeah, it's been good. I think like one more thing that I want to talk about is like our recent Netflix things that we've been watching. You've been watching so much RuPaul, but we've also started watching Queer Eye.
Why are you telling people this?
Because it's so good and I want to talk about it. Because I want to talk about Queer Eye. Oh my god, Queer Eye is so good.
I think you should explain what it is, because I think a lot of people won't know what Queer Eye is.
So Queer Eye is it five gay guys who
the Fab Five
who will they all have like their own like professions and skill sets, and like they have like a hairdresser, a guy that's like who does like a lot of grooming and things like that.
He's really into makeup.
And no, I thought it was different.
No, he's a grooming guy. So the guy who does the hair, he's the one with the long hair.
Right.
And he does like beard.
I thought
grooming.
That was two separate.
No.
Okay. Maybe not. Then there's a interior designer.
Bobby.
Someone who just talks to people.
What's it called? Karamo or something?
He just talks to them.
He's all about getting your self-esteem up and like loving you.
I think he might be a life coach or something. Mm. Yeah. And then the chef kind of guy who I don't think is a chef. He just knows how to cook a couple of home meals and that's it.
He just really likes avocado on toast. He's like the first episode of the new Nigella series where she was like, I'm going to cook up some avocado on toast, guys.
I was laughing just because like, his thing in the second episode is like, here's how you make a grilled cheese.
It was a good-looking
grilled cheese. Yeah. But like, that's a recipe from the internet that you could get up, right? Like, it's nothing special.
Maybe you should be a Fab Five.
Like, these, like, five guys will go out and...
And Tan, you've forgotten Tan, the fashion guy.
Oh, the fashion guy, of course.
Beautiful, beautiful man.
And they'll go out and help all of these people who will have, like, problems with, like, their lives and stuff. Like, they're in, like, a rut and, like, they have, like, really bad fashion sense. They don't really know how to, like, groom themselves. Mm. Their, like, house will be a state. Like, they don't really, like... They usually just kind of look at a bit of a rut, right?
Yeah.
And they'll, like, go out there and help them. And, like, they'll show them how to, like, take care of their skin. And, like, redo all of their fashion. And, like, throw out their wardrobe. And be like, your entire house is just trash. We're just going to throw out your furniture. It's great.
I mean, that guy did have that sweaty chair. I mean,
the first episode is really good. Emotional as well, isn't it?
It's so beautiful because there's such a positive outlook on it. Because they never say, look, you're just ugly, you're not going to, you know, you're not going anywhere, or we can't change you. They're always like, bring out the best in people. The first guy was kind of a redneck guy. He was living on his own. He'd gone through like 3 divorces and he had lupus. So he'd really like
bad skin. Yeah.
And so he tried to cover it by having, you know, kind of wispy hair and a thick beard. And they were just like, no, you need to get rid of that beard, because by having this beard on your face, it's covering your face, it's kind of closing off people to you. And they just made him love himself. And I just thought that was so beautiful.
He ended up crying with
them. They were crying. I was crying. Mm. You were crying.
I was crying.
You didn't even watch the whole episode. You just came downstairs and were like... So good. And alongside that, we've been watching RuPaul's Drag Race, which I started watching like November last year, and it turned into an addiction. And
it's
then
good.
I was kind of watching it casually, and then Ryan would kind of pop in and sit down with me for a bit and be like, what the hell are you watching? And then you'd slowly start getting into it. You'd kind of lead in and be like, oh, you're watching RuPaul again.
So many bits of like subplot and stuff though, right? It's really good.
It's basically America's Next Top Model, but for drag queens. And it's as good as that sounds. Like, if you think that sounds good, it's even better. And there's all these different kind of characters, and you learn all about their, like, lives. And they often have, like, really difficult stories, like, behind them. And so good. And then sometimes they just wear the most outrageous things. I've learnt a lot. I've learnt a lot about tucking. I learnt a lot about that. I've learnt a lot of new words, like... Read.
Shade. Yeah.
There's lots of things.
Yeah.
I can't. There's many drag queen words that I just did not know about, and it's just like a whole new world, and I'm very glad that we're part of it. And you are so emotionally invested in it; it's hilarious. But I would very much recommend it, even if you are like Ryan, a straight guy watching some really campy TV shows. Because
it's just fun, though, isn't
they
it?
They are fun.
Yeah.
They're fun and chilled, and sometimes you've had a really hard day at work. There's nothing better than watching 2 drag queens lip sync for their lives.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's easy TV.
Mm. And you need that sometimes.
Mm.
Right. Speaking of which, I think we need to go watch some.
Which one? Queer Eye?
Maybe some Queer Eye.
Oh, we've been watching Terrace House as well.
Oh, God.
Terrace House. Oh, God.
We're getting even deeper and darker now.
Mm.
Terrace House is a Japanese, it's like a Made in Chelsea.
Big Brother. Like, it's a weird mix, isn't it? Where, like, it's a load of, like, 20-somethings that go and live in, like, a communal house together for, like, a month. They all have jobs, they're all allowed to leave the house, but it's kind of, like, a little bit of, like, a dating program, because they'll have, like, 3 guys, 3 girls, and, like, it's trying to, I don't know. Like,
push them together in a way.
Push them together, yeah. But, like, they're not, like, strict about who gets to date who, of course. So, like, it's like, oh, 2 of the guys like the same girl. Ooh, what's going to happen there? But then that girl might not like those 2 guys. She might like the other guy.
But the best part about it isn't necessarily what's going on in the house. It's the people who commentate over it. They have hilarious little studio set up.
I mean, that's like a classic Japanese thing, though. You have, like, a group of people who are also commenting on what's going on.
But they're not boxed out in a corner, like, you know... Twitch style. Well, you know, like you see in lots of like Japanese TV shows that you kind of, they cut in and out, but they have this random like 14-year-old schoolboy
he becomes a little bit of a shithead, doesn't he?
Can't believe you said that.
He does.
He's a 14-year-old boy. He's just watching it.
He starts agreeing with this like really controversial thing about this like arsey character.
I think he's just trying to act like super mature, and he's quite sweet though, because he wears these like cute little button up shirts.
I think he's.
And the women, I always find what the women are saying quite interesting, because in Japanese society, you'd kind of expect a lot of the women to not be sure about their future or not to be sure about like career prospects and stuff like that because of, you know, the way the culture kind of is. And all of the women in the show are really like.
Headstrong, aren't they? They're all into like their careers and stuff.
They all have big ideas. I think that's so cool. Like, you know, one of them wants to start her own business, and then one of the Japanese guys, like the young guys, like shoots her down about it, and it's like, that's not a real career path for you. And it's like, well, when she says she wants like to have a family, that's fine.
Yeah, like in like the first episode, they're all like talking about, oh, the girls are going to make us food and stuff, and they're going to cook for us, and like things like that, like really kind of like.
But I loved how quickly the girls were like, no,
yeah,
let's do it together.
Yeah,
they weren't like sassy about it, like we ain't doing that for you. But they were like, let's do it all together. They're a bit more, you know. If it was me, I'd probably have been a lot ruder.
Plus, I love the jock as well, which is like a weird thing to love the sporty guy in something, just because he's actually really nice. He's a really cute guy. Yeah,
very
really
good.
Cool.
Basically, we're doing a really big endorsement right now for Netflix. And if any of you haven't got Netflix so far, there's so much good stuff to watch. I think we've just, it's changed everything. We don't even have a normal TV. Like, we don't actually have digital.
We just got a smart box, didn't we?
Haven't set it up yet.
I feel like we're going to mainly use that for Game of Thrones.
This is true, and that finally comes back.
Mm.
Anyway, let's stop talking about TV and go watch some TV. This is meant to be a gaming podcast, and we've so spent.
We're talking about movies and Netflix.
Pretty much most of the time. I'm sorry about that, everybody. But
hey ho.
Hey ho. Anyway, thank you very much for listening and tuning in. Let me know what you think of our first ever live podcast. Maybe we should go back to our far more edited.
I didn't mind it so much. It's been alright, hasn't it?
It's been pretty fun. I think it's been nice to kind of see you all chatting along with us too. I think that's quite a nice part to it.
Yeah.
So thank you all guys for tuning in live.
Thank you.
Hello and
bye-bye.
Goodbye. And you can of course join us next time. By maybe leave a comment or some questions that you want us to do. If you think of any fun quiz questions to that Ryan definitely won't know the answers to, please send them in. If you want to go old school, we've got the email address you can send questions into. It's
Super Console. You can send them the facts.
SuperConsoleGaming@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. Send abuse to Ryan. It's Ryan A. Page. Is that right?
It is Ryan A. Page.
Send all the nice stuff to @SuperConsole. Bad stuff, Ryan A. Page. Good stuff. Super Console. You've got this. And we'll see you guys soon.
Bye. Bye.